Thank you. Thank you, Peter, for those kind words. Peter used to be a South supporter, but then when things were tough, he changed clubs. The going gets tough, the tough get going. Peter, you might think Peter and I are not twins. You saw he has different coloured socks on this morning, but the rest of us, we look colour coordinated. So the story I'm about to tell is not about Peter, okay? So just remember that, okay? None will offend anyone. Anyway, a pastor dies and he's waiting in line at the pearly gates. Ahead of him is a guy dressed in sunglasses, a loud shirt, leather jacket and jeans. St. Peter addresses this cool guy. Who are you? So that I may know whether or not to admit you into the kingdom of heaven. The guy replies, I'm Bruce, retired airline pilot. St. Peter consults his list. He smiles and says to the pilot, take this silken robe and golden staff and enter the kingdom. The pilot goes into heaven with his robe and staff. Next, it's the pastor's turn. He stands straight and booms out, I've been a pastor for the last 43 years. St. Peter consults the list. He says to the pastor, take this cotton robe and this wooden staff and enter the kingdom. Just a minute, says the pastor. That man was a pilot and he gets a silken robe and a golden staff and I only get a cotton and wood. How can this be? Up here, we go by results, said St. Peter. When you preached, people slept. When he flew, people prayed. They don't go to sleep. In 2015, Iris Ministries, who we are volunteers with, celebrated 20 years in Mozambique. We danced, we sang, we shared stories, we heard testimonies, feasts, conferences, and we thank God all for all that He had done in so many of our lives over this time. 20 years is a significant time. In fact, it used to be called a generation. I believe now that a generation is considered 25 years, maybe because we're all having children at an older age or living longer, I don't know. But in biblical terms, 20 signifies expectancy. There are lots of examples in the scriptures about expectancy, about 20 years. 20 years Israel waited for the deliverance until Samson. 20 years the Ark of the Covenant waited in a city called Kirjath Jearim. For 20 years Solomon was waiting for the completion of both the temple and his palace. For 20 years, Jeremiah prophesied concerning the destruction of Jerusalem. So with Iris now completing 20 years, there's great expectancy about what God is doing in the years to come. And for you as a church as well, there's that sense of expectancy. And you know, in our walks with God, there should always be a sense of expectancy about what's coming next. And for Iris Ministries, there's lots of plans, especially in the hearts and minds of people like Heidi, for things that are about to come. More centres, more outreaches, more evangelism. We're working towards a university in the next couple of years. There's expectancy about what God is doing. Thankfulness for what He's done, but expectancy about what He's doing. And just for a few minutes before church this morning, I spoke to Peter about some of the things that you're expectant for in the years to come here as a church. Looking for new property, buildings, new opportunity to serve the community where God's called you to be. And as we share this morning, we want to share with you some of the good things that have been happening, some of the difficulties that have also been happening, and encourage you to continue to be expectant about what God is doing in our lives and in your lives. First of all, as we've done over the last 15 years we've been here in Mozambique, is to say thank you. In fact, 20 years we've been associated with this church. It was in 1996 that I began as a school teacher in Canberra, and Vision became our home church. At that time, we were meeting out in Pierce. And for all of the 20 years we've been associated with this church, you have been amazingly supportive to us, personally, to our children, to the ministry that we were involved in while we were here in Canberra, both within the church and outside of the church, and amazingly so over the last 15 years. You can see that we're still looking well. We eat well, we kept well, and a lot of that is to do with the support that you continue to give us. Financially, spiritually, we had lots and lots of people visit us. Some of those are here this morning. Prayerfully, if we're in need in any way, the church here continues to be a great support to us, and we say thank you. Because without your support, I'm sure the road would be much more difficult. I'm not sure we would still be there. It's not many missionaries that gather support, and that support continues for such a long time. We say thank you for that. Just an update on some of the events and the things that you have been involved in. One of the members of this church, or four members of this church, who visited in the early years, began a vision for a prayer room. Some, I suppose, 15 years later, we now have a 24/7 prayer room. It's not operating 24/7, but it's open 24/7. It's being used more and more by our children, by our pastors, by our missionaries, by our visitors, by our community, by our school, to pray. And you can't lose if the foundation of what you're doing is prayer. It's our great joy each week to lead two sessions of prayer with the children, and it's a wonderful time to pray. We have, I just saw Heiner was here at the back. I believe that he did the signs around here. The pulpit that he made many, many years ago is still our pulpit for church. The cross that he made is still at the front of the church. We had a wonderful family visit us a number of years ago in their time of a long service leave, and they established there, the Sturzacres, a garden. We call it a farm, but he tells me it's a garden that provides most of our vegetables and produce that we use in our centre. Some 7 or 8 years later, it's grown and continues to grow because someone planted there a seed. Our school continues to grow. This year we introduced grade 11 to our school, and by 2017 we'll have grade 12, and the school comes under Iris Ministries. We're educating this year 1,600 students, and it's a wonderful privilege to see that grow. As you'll see in the video, we are laid at our 20-year conference a foundation stone for a new church, which will be an extension of the prayer house. So as finances come in, we will be building, hopefully, a new church at the front. We're renovating bathrooms and dormitories. We have a new dormitory for young children that just opened a week before we came out. But we're still looking, as John shared that word this morning, our passion is to look for those who are in need of love. And so we bring in the sickest of the sick, the most disenfranchised, those who are lacking love in their life. And we love them mostly into life. Sometimes we love them into the arms of Jesus. But the greatest passion of our ministry, of our call, is to love, to pour out love. About 12 years ago, it was my wife's idea, that we would take 10 babies to live in our house. As you know, with babies, they grow up. Those children are now 15 and 16 years old. Not sure what's easier, 10 babies or 10 15-year-olds. Many of those 10, or some of those 10, have been reunited with families. A couple have gone to other centres. We still have three who live with us, Ernesto, Ivan, and Leisha. Joanna and Luis have gone to be with their families, and Cremelda, the oldest of them, is expecting a child. Thousands of children have gone through our centres. Some are married, some single. We have our first student this year that will complete medical school. We have teachers, we have lawyers. But we have others who are still yet to finish grade 9 or 10 at school. Some are happily married and have wonderful family life. Some of our young men and women are in prison. All of them have received the good news of Jesus when they are at our centre. Some have carried on following Jesus. Others left Jesus at the front gate when they left. You see, like Adam and Eve in the garden, God gives us all a choice. Some of us, or all of us, if you like, have that decision to make good choices and sometimes not so good choices. So we want to share with you this morning a little bit about celebration. Celebration of the good things that God is doing, of the victories, and also the disappointments. We drove into Canberra yesterday morning and Ros pointed out to me the restaurant that we celebrated our wedding some 35 years ago. 35 years together, something to celebrate. She's a blessed woman. Yet, as wonderful as that wedding day was, and I can still remember the service and the reception and our honeymoon, not every day of the last 35 years has been like our wedding day. There's been peaks and troughs, days of great victory and celebration, and other days that I would rather be alone. You see, our walk with God is the same. We love being where God wants us to be. Some days are fabulous, other days are full of disappointments. Yet there's something satisfying about being where God wants you to be. You'll see some photos in a few minutes of our 20-year celebration conference. It was glorious. Heidi came down and lots of people from the past 20 years and shared stories about all the wonderful things that Iris Ministries does, and we had a huge feast to celebrate. There were services and everyone was falling on the ground and it was amazing. And you know, I know some people attended a conference that Iris ran a few weeks ago up in Sydney, and they think, wow, I just want to be part of a ministry like that. Well, not every day is like that. Not every day is full of conferences and feasts and celebration. But we love those times as well. But many days are ordinary days. Many days are full of difficulties. Let me give you a progress report on some of the children that you have supported over the years. When we first began in Mozambique and our first trip home in 2002, we gave out little fridge magnets of a little boy whose name is Ernesto. At that time, he was about 2 years old and he was very unwell. In fact, he'd spent, I think, most of that first year we were in Mozambique, he had been in hospital some 13 or 17 times in hospital. He was very sick, and the church took it on to pray for that little boy. Well, he's now 15. He just passed grade 10. In Mozambique, they have government exams in grade 10, and they're very difficult exams to pass. Only about 20% of the students passed. He passed and has moved into grade 11. However, he's a 15-year-old boy. And he is going through, he's not a boy and he's not a man. But he does not understand the respect of authority. And he's having lots of difficulties with authority, with his teachers, with the people on the base. And he's entering into a time where we're going to have to make a decision about where he lives, because he is, particularly when we're away, he is extremely difficult. Now, I share that story because out of the glorious, the miraculous of him living and the amazing achievements that he's making in his education, he's still a young man or a boy with huge difficulties in his life. You see, even when we're right where God wants us to be, difficulties still arise. We still have to face those difficulties. Another young man whose name's Araouj, who we've shared about, a number of people here have supported him through building him and his family a house, supported him through education, and we announced, I think last year, the year before, that he had gained a very, very good job working for an oil company. He travelled the world. He was really riding a high. Well, as you know, those of you who have any shares in oil companies, the price of oil has crashed. It's down from about $150 at its peak down to somewhere about $30 at the moment. The oil companies are just laying off thousands and thousands of employees. Shell, I believe, 40,000, BP, 30,000. The company he works with, 10,000 employees. At the end of last year, he got laid off work. And he's finding it very, very difficult because of the industry at the moment, very, very difficult to find a job. You see, that's the reality of where we live. You can be right where God wants you, but difficulties arrive. I love what John Arnott says. Bad things happen to good people. Peter shared this morning about Judy and himself and the team who went to India, and they've come back, and I know they, you know, Roz fell down and broke her arm, and Peter and Judy have been sick, and I know Alison. And we can start to question, well, were they really doing what God wanted them to do? Because look at the consequence of what happened. But you see, when you're right in the middle of God's will, that doesn't mean that things are not going to happen. It's what we do in response to that, as Peter shared this morning. What do we do in response when unfair things happen in your life? We are learning, even after all these years in Mozambique, that God's measure of success is our obedience to him. When Jesus called his disciples in Luke chapter 5, to read verses 1 to 6, it says, while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, Jesus was standing by the lake, and he saw two boats lying at the edge, but the fishermen had got out of them and were washing their nets. And Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put a little way out from the land. He sat down and began teaching the people. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out your nets into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Simon said to him, Master, we've worked hard all night and we caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. When they had done this, they caught a great quantity of fish and the nets began to break. The key words for me in that scripture is this. When Simon said, I will do what you say. And I shared at the earlier service, perhaps I would have made the story go, when he cast the net on the other side, he didn't catch many fish. Because even in obedience to God, it's not always successful. But you see, Simon did what the Lord asked him to do. When Abram was called in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5, he was 75 years of age. He was called from his land to a new land. Could you imagine at 75 years of age with your wife being called to a foreign land? But he said to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, I will go." You see, I could tell you many stories today about the ministry, about those who we help, about the education successes, the healings, the lives that have been touched, food multiplying, the buildings, the ministries that would amaze you. I likewise can tell you stories of those who have died and those who did not get through school, those in jail, of the floods, the fires, the riots. Even when you're right in the middle of where God wants you to be, there can be disappointment, there can be sickness. That does not take away from who you are or your call. I'm going to ask Roz to come and share a little bit more about some of those who you support, a little bit more of the stories of what God's calling us to do, and then we'll...
Okay. Good morning. It's always really good to come back and to be connected to the church that supports us so wonderfully. I want to say thank you for your prayer and your support and the connection that you bring to us when we're overseas. I want to say thank you to Leonie, who faithfully prays for us for many, many years. And even in my lack of communication, she manages to pick up and pray. Thank you, Leonie. I just want to give you a little update. The areas that I particularly work in the centre are to do with reintegration, which is putting our children back with families, which is really one of our greatest things. We have a revolving door centre, so we don't bring children in at the age of zero and keep them until they're 18. We keep contact with families, and our aim is to strengthen the family unit in whichever way we can so that children can be put back into the family, whether that's their older siblings or aunties or grandparents. So we aim for a revolving door, and last year I think approximately we had about 40 children go back to families. And probably about 40 children came in as well. We don't kind of do numbers like that. You know, we don't balance one out, one in, but God does that for us. We're sitting at about 250 children at the moment. Each of the children have been investigated by our team of Mozambicans who go and look at their family story. We don't just bring children in because they're poor. They have quite a complex situation. Sometimes it's social, sometimes it's just a crisis situation if mum's in hospital for a while. Sometimes it's because of death of both or disappearance of both parents. So there's a lot of factors that go into bringing children into the centre. And part of the video that we're going to show this morning, I wanted to give you the opportunity to reflect on the faces of the kids. So to you, those children might just flash up as just more children and more orphans and more vulnerable children. But each of those children have a story, and it's a sad story and it's a complicated story. And that's what I want to try to convey during the video. They are just faces, but they're kids that belong to someone's family. They're children that come out of absolute poverty, and they're children that many of them are sick with various chronic illnesses. And some of them are just neglected and not wanted in their families. So the first part of the video is basically probably two-thirds of the children that we have on the centre. And I really want you to just let the Lord put them into your heart as children who belong to someone, not just kids that live over there. Some of you might remember a young man, Moi Moi, who was burnt in a workplace accident 18 months ago. He's doing really well. He's a dad of four children, and he's back home. He's at work. We're actually still continuing with physiotherapy to keep his flexibility going, but he's done really well. And I say thank you for those of you that prayed, those of you that donated. We've had a big team of nurses working on him, but he's on the way to health, and hopefully around about August we'll be able to finish up with his physiotherapy. In the video, I want you just to draw your attention to something that's going on in Mozambique at the moment, which is the kidnapping and abduction of albinos, and they're highly sought after for their body parts. So it's something that Mozambique, I mean, all of our countries need to have awareness about what's going on. And so in Mozambique, the government is having a great push to prevent this, but they're very vulnerable, particularly children are vulnerable to abduction. And so in our celebration, we were able to have a presentation, a drama, which one of the albino students from our school actually put together and gave a presentation to the attendants at the conference. And it was such a wonderful opportunity to bring awareness of what is going on in Mozambique to Mozambicans. And it was an excellent, a very moving drama. And I've actually made a small, just a little comment up there, just for those of you that want to commit to pray for albinos. Our centre director's daughter is an albino and she's 3 years old and particularly vulnerable at that age as well. So please, if you feel to, please pray particularly for that difficulty. As Steve said, we're opening up a new dormitory, which is really exciting. It'll be our 6 to 8 year old boys coming out of one of our younger dormitories. And so that is really exciting to see the kids coming up and growing up and going into the dormitories. And we've got a missionary and a Mozambican running that dormitory. It'll start with 10 children and each year we'll add another 10 until they reach 30 children. This year was a fabulous year in the clinic. Our daughter Liz came over for 2 years to help raise the quality of care and service to the community in the clinic, and she's done an amazing job there. She's made the team incredibly professional, and actually it's probably the year that we've had the least deaths in the centre. The one child that you will see just appear really quickly is a little girl that came to us at the age of 8 and 6 kilos in weight, and really too progressed in her health for us to really do anything significantly for her health-wise. But we were able to love her for 3 months, celebrate her birthday, and then love her into the arms of Jesus. And I shared in the earlier service one thing that was is probably the most difficult pediatric death that I've been involved in Mozambique. Just because of the suffering of her leading up to it. And she took about a week to pass away. But one thing that was really special for us, all of the carers, including the Mozambicans and Western nurses, we were all able to be there for her last hour of life and to love her into the arms of Jesus. And it was really special for us. It's very rare that we would all be on the base at the same time, and even rarer that you would actually be able to be there and present in the room when one of our kids dies. So it was very sad, but we were all very relieved for her that her suffering was over. And so those are some of the challenges that we face. But with your prayer and with the grace of God, we get to work in some of the most trying situations, but we also really know that we're bringing love to those children and to Mozambique.
Why don't we just stand? Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 says, "He causes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, for I have overcome the world." As Christians and believers, we live in a tension by what we know in our hearts, but at times the reality is difficult. What are we going to do when those difficulties arise? Whether sickness, relationship, calling, we're going to make a decision to hang on to Jesus. So I encourage you to build your foundation on solid ground. When the storm comes, make a choice. Run into God, not away from Him. Take time to give thanks to God for the things that He's doing and celebrate. Romans chapter 8 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. In all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in this creation will be able to separate us from the love of God who is in Christ Jesus. Would you just join hands with the person next to you? Father, maybe the person next to us we know really well, or maybe we don't know them at all. But Father, we know, Lord, in their life there are great times of victory and celebration, but Lord, also areas of difficulty. Father, we pray for them this morning. Father, we join together to pray for Judy and for Peter and for Roz and for Allison, who are still suffering consequences of their trip. Lord, we join together and we just pray, Lord Jesus, that you will continue to pour out your Holy Spirit on them. Thank you, Lord, for their obedience in going to India. Father, we pray that we would know you more and more and more. We keep our eyes focused on the prize. Lord, this life is not a suffering competition. It's not about who has the worse situation than the other. But Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, when difficult times come, but Father, just like the person who's next to us, Lord, that there would be others who would hold their hands up. Thank you, Lord, for this church of believers who hold up hands when they're drooping down, that they're an encouragement, Lord, to one another. Father, we pray that we would know the word, we would know the scriptures. We would, Lord, build our lives on a solid foundation. Father, that we would know, Lord, that we're right where we're meant to be, in great days and in days of difficulty. So, Father, we give you thanks today. We thank you, Lord, for the call that is on our life, each one of us, the person on our left and the person on our right. Pray, Father, that they would do what you're asking them to do with all the joy, with all the passion, with everything they have within them. That, Father, we would see your kingdom come on this earth. Lord, in Fishwick, in Canberra, in the nation of Australia, and across the nations of the world, we would see the name of Jesus lifted up. That we would be an encouragement, Lord, to each other, and we would see your name lifted. And we give you thanks for this day in Jesus' name. Amen.